Back now with Day to Day. In the 1950s and early 60s, a club in San Francisco was the center of the comedy universe. The club, called The Hungry Eye, closed more than 30 years ago, but now an exhibit at the Performing Arts Library and Museum in San Francisco profiles its glory days. From member station KALW in San Francisco, Stephen Short has more.
So a guy walks into a bar. No, wait, I need to get this right. Two guys walk into an exhibit. Let's call one Brad and the other Enrico, as in Brad Rosenstein, co-curator of the exhibit, and Enrico Banducci, founder of the Hungry Eye Theater Restaurant. As they stroll through the exhibit, the photos on display trigger memories, some over half a century old. Some of the performers included, such as Bob Newhart and Bill Cosby, are still well known. Others were giants in their day. Such as...
Harry Smith,
exactly.
Faith Winthrop.
Oh, Faith Winthrop, yes.
Brad Rosenstein says The Hungry Eye offered a traditional variety show, starting with the house band, the Vince Guaraldi Trio.
Vince Guaraldi is a fascinating figure. Most people who know him today know him for his score for the Peanuts animated cartoon specials.
Next might be a singer-dancer, such as Maya Angelou.
A lot of people don't know this, but, you know, her past is that she began as a singer and a dancer in the clubs of North Beach. She started at a strip joint called the Garden of Eden.
Mo and Joe run the candy store, telling fortunes behind the door. The cops grabbed Mo, and as Joe ran out, Brother Mo, he began to shout, "Run, Joe!"
Then you might encounter Woody Allen. He played there.
But he was an opening act on the same bill with Barbara Streisand. Nobody came because these people were unknowns.
College, and I was thrown out of NYU my freshman year. I cheated on my metaphysics final. College, and I looked within the soul of the boy sitting next to me.
He got heckled the first night and got so terrified he turned around and froze and started talking to the back wall. And Enrico had to get him off.
Hecklers were rare, though, because Enrico would not tolerate them.
Yeah, well, I threw them out, sure. I threw out nine of them one night. All nine. I stopped the show. Say, stop the show. I want to get rid of some people here. Come on. You all threw out nine of you. Out. Get out of here.
I heard you threw out a whole audience one time.
One time I threw out a whole audience, yeah. They're noisy.
How do you do that?
They weren't listening. I said, you guys don't want to hear this show. Go home. Get your money back.
Banducci always put the performers first, which certainly contributed to the Hungry Eye's long success. The last echoes of laughter faded away when the club closed in 1970. Yet, this small basement night spot's influence reverberates through show business to this day. As Rosenstein says, prior to the Hungry Eye, nightclubs focused on the fancy packaging, often at the expense of the performers. Banducci changed all that.
It's draperies and cigarette girls and hustling booze, and that's what a nightclub experience was. He stripped all that stuff away. He put in the famous brick wall, that sort of existential French bistro brick wall that became the back of the stage and is now reproduced in every comedy club in America.
It's been said that analyzing comedy is like dissecting a frog. The procedure kills both. But study the influences that inform comedy today, and more likely than not, you'll find a link to The Hungry Eye. For NPR News, I'm Stephen Short in San Francisco.